we lack empathy for another's perception, you know, and being able to see another perception can be the gateway to understanding a lot more than we do. And I know I'm guilty of that. So I wrote this song because of that. So here it goes. You say nothing's ever going right, just because something's not going your way. Well, why don't you turn on the news? 10 out of 10, someone's going through worse than you. You lose such a beautiful sight. Keep complaining about what you don't like, but learning gratitude and acceptance, you'll figure out that it's all about perception, 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 perception. I got the music going in my head, guys. You say you're ready to give up, and you don't want to live this life no more. I'm guilty of that. What if you look a bit clearer now? You'll see your life was made for so much more. You lose such a beautiful sight. Keep complaining about what you don't like, but learning to be still and receptive. Someday you'll see that it's all about perception, 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 perception. Our eyes can't see with full clarity, being conditioned to seeing only what we believe. See, the picture's much bigger in its entirety. Can I be suggesting, try changing your perception, 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 perception. Try changing your perspective, 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 perspective. Perception, perspective.
It's amazing. We have so many artists of all kinds. We have writers, we have painters, we have singers, composers, dancers. We are blessed. All right. And it now gives me pleasure to introduce Jennifer Madriaga, who will give our message for today.
Gotta get this step up because I'm short. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So good to see all of you today. It's a delight to give the sermon, which I'm going to channel because I have nothing written down. So two things happened today which I thought were really cool and synchronous. One was before the service, Miss Bonnie over here gave me a hawk feather. She said, I saw this little hawk feather and I thought that you could use it. And it's really funny because Red Hawk is my protector guide. So I thought that that was a really nice message to get before the service. And then the second thing that was synchronous was that Bonnie's opening passage was about Joan of Arc, who is my most favorite saint when I was growing up. I was raised Catholic. I think you were too, Bonnie. Mm-hmm. But I do remember when I was a little girl learning about Joan of Arc, who was a young girl in France, who led an army against invading English. And I remember thinking as a child, I wish I could be as brave as Joan of Arc. Wish that I could lead an entire army like she could, because that just seemed like so incredible to do that as a young 16-year-old. And of course, she was burned at the stake. I didn't like that ending too much. But I did like the part about leading an army and leading the charge and being in so much alignment with her faith and her belief that she could lead an army on her own. Little did I know that I would actually do a version of that, and I believe that probably every person in this room has probably been through a version of that. And so one of the things that I was thinking about when Scott asked me to give the talk today was, what would I talk about? And one of the things I think that I want to talk about, because I kept coming up time and time again in my travels. So I've been gone for the past 3 weeks traveling internationally. I was just in San Diego, and before that I was in Boston. And before that I was in Budapest, Hungary. And so when you travel a lot, you have a lot of time to spend on planes thinking about things, but you also meet a lot of different people in your travels, and you learn about people's stories. And so I'm really grateful that I have the opportunity to do that. And so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is basically the journey of coming into alignment with faith and then also self-actualization. And it's one that I'm still in the process of undergoing, and I don't think it's one that I ever want to complete if I'm really honest about it. And I was also thinking about the time when I first came to this chapel, which was back, I think, 7 years ago. And when I came here 7 years ago, it was actually Scott giving the sermon. And it was funny because I remember saying to Scott, "Are you the Reverend?" He goes, "No." And now, of course, now he is. And so so a lot of things have happened, not in the past, just in the past 7 years, but in the past decade. And so I want to talk about the journey and also divine timing. As you know, I give messages all the time, and one of the things that I always seem to keep giving as a recurring message is patience, which is a message I actually don't like receiving. And I always hesitate to give it out because people, when they are asking for a message or a sign, usually we're under duress. We may be in a state of desperation. Oftentimes we're in a place of great pain that needs healing, and we may not know what's going on. And that's actually what brought me to this chapel, is I was looking for answers, and the answers I kept getting was patience. Things will unfold the way they want. I did not like that answer, but I am here to tell you 7 years later, and then 10 years after my really intense journey began, that patience is good to have. So 10 years ago, my marriage was falling apart. I had a newborn son, and literally my world was falling down around me. I also hadn't worked in 8 years. And so I was asked to be independent in a way that I didn't think I would ever be capable of doing. And I also had no support system. I didn't have any friends. I was in a relationship that was very isolating. And it was very sobering to realize that I didn't have anybody. I didn't even have the support of my family, who disowned me because I decided to leave my marriage. So it was me and my son. And I think about it and I get emotional, because that time I was able to make it through because I felt like I had to live for my son. Like, I didn't even want to live for myself, but I said, I brought another human being into the world and I need to live for him. But he's one of my greatest teachers, and what he actually ended up teaching me was not that I needed to live for him, but I need to live for myself. And I think that's something that a lot of us have to learn. So many of us who are empaths or intuitives or light workers, we do a lot of work for other people. We absorb a lot of energy from other people. And sometimes we do that without even realizing that we do that. And so so one of the messages I also want to give to folks is that the love and care and healing that you give to others, you need to start giving to yourself, right? This past year has been really difficult for a lot of people. The cycle that we've been in the past year is one that mirrored my journey 10 years ago, and I was going through the death of the world that I was in. And even literally, so last month I was hospitalized for sepsis at Duke Hospital. I was on the verge of septic shock and didn't know it. And The only reason I went into urgent care was I thought I had Lyme disease, because I saw a friend of mine post that he had Lyme disease and he had flu-like symptoms and a fever. And so I went into urgent care thinking I would get like 10 days of antibiotics and I would be out of there, and I was supposed to go to Portland, Oregon for work. And then the PA said, well, wait, let's just run a blood test, because we always do that when people come in. He wasn't very concerned. And then he came back and the color was drained from his face, and he said, your white blood count is 20,000. You need to go to the ER and be hospitalized immediately. You're in sepsis. And I said, does that mean I'm not going to Oregon? And he was, because I was just in a complete, like, denial that this had happened. Like, I thought that I'd gone through life with enough surprises that this was actually a genuine surprise, because I thought my life was pretty good. And so I drove myself to Duke Hospital, which I wasn't supposed to do, apparently. And the ER, they were waiting for me, and they whisked me to the back to start me on IV antibiotics and also just to give me fluids, because my resting rate was 153, which was a sign of sepsis as well as the high fever. And so I was there for several days, and I experienced a rebirth of myself, literally, because first of all, they nuked everything in my body, so the biome that I had within my body is gone. So I'm taking a lot of probiotics right now. So it was both a symbolic and like literal death. And the past month has been one where there's been a lot of self-scrutiny and a lot of assessment of, like, not just now, but of the past few years. And I think a lot of people are coming to that same kind of reckoning right now. A lot of stuff is coming up for people. And I just want to say, it's okay. I know it doesn't feel okay, but it's okay. It's funny because I always ask myself, what does okay mean anyway? Because that's the voice I kept hearing when I was going through my divorce, when I was trying to find a job. I was unemployed for a couple years and terrified that I would never, ever be able to make a living. I thought that all the things my father said about me when I left my marriage was that you're going to be destitute. You're not going to be able to support your son. You can't do this. I mean, I don't know how many people in this room has had someone say to them, you can't do this. Sometimes we're the worst ones because we have completely conditioned ourselves that that's the message that we're deserving of hearing, right? That we're deserving of, you're not good enough. You're not lovable enough. You know, no one cares for you. And so this is where faith comes in, right? So here's this period of time a few years ago, and even when I was in the hospital, because I was just kind of like, why did this happen? Like, why does this happen? I don't know that there's ever a good reason for why. I know there's a metaphysical why, but I'm going to talk as a human being for a moment. Because I feel human a lot. I feel a lot of doubt and uncertainty over what's going to happen next. And certainty is really hard, because even when you look at the stars in the sky, you can see the stars in the sky, but you have no idea how many of them are up there, right? That's when you start entering into the concept of infinity and what's out there. What are the answers? Well, as a human being, I can tell you I don't have all the answers. I do access my inner God, my inner divine, which I think all of us have. But sometimes we feel very far away with it when we're in this human experience. And so I think it really, really helps to know that this thing larger than ourselves is also taking care of us. And that's what I had to believe when I didn't have any friends and I was alone with my son. That it's going to be okay meant something larger than myself was going to come in and help me out. And what does that mean? How do we get helped out? We have to help ourselves. And yeah, everyone's heard this, right? We have to help ourselves. What does that mean? What does it mean to help ourselves? Part of it is we have to learn to talk to ourselves. I know that sounds like maybe people already talk to themselves. But I talked to myself a lot because I didn't have anyone else to talk to. But what was really funny is that because I did that, I also actually started hearing other voices. I started hearing the voices of my higher self and also of my angels and guides, which was a real gift. I thought I was actually going insane. But sometimes we have to be so alone and so quiet that first of all, we can hear the voice of our higher self that knows that we are deserving and lovable and capable of giving love and capable of giving not to just others but to ourselves in a way that we've never experienced before. And that was what I feel like I was meant to learn through coming to this community and also getting to know other people, was that to help myself, I had to give to myself first, and then I could give to others. It was like my community and my tribe came in, not because of other people initially, but because I learned to give to myself. And I know a lot of people have difficulty with that. It's so much easier to put attention on other people and other things, because it can be a distraction from doing the work that we have to do. And I know I still have a lot of work left to do, and you probably have a lot of work left to do. And maybe we shouldn't even couch it as work. So one of the things that helped me when I was in the hospital at Duke was I had a lot of people come visit me, and they made me laugh so hard. Like, I was in the ER, and, you know, and there was someone who was not in great shape next to me, and he was urinating on the walls, and we were laughing, because they were like, at least you're not peeing on the walls. The ER staff just thought we were the craziest group of people. And it was funny, because, like, that's why I like Alonzo's song about perception, is it is about context, right? Like, there is, like, I am someone who really loves dark humor, because there is a lot of darkness in the world. And one of the messages that I also give besides patience is one of playfulness, because we need a lot of playfulness in the world. We need a lot more kindness in the world. But sometimes the playfulness and kindness needs to start with ourselves, right? So, I mean, one of the things I want to tell people is one of the things I want you to do is I want you to tell yourselves that you like yourself. I mean, that sounds so weird. I mean, I think about the that skit from Saturday Night Live. Some of you, I don't know if everyone's old enough to remember that, but the skit where, was it Stuart Smiley is the name, that, where he would look in the mirror and he would say, "I'm good enough, and darn it, people like me," and he would do the mirror work. And I mean, everyone thought that was so cheesy, but actually that is like really powerful stuff. And I will tell you, so someone, one of the first things that someone told me when I was going to imagine is like, look at yourself in the mirror and look into the eyes of your true teacher, you know, and say, "I love you." Oh my God, that was so hard. It was like funny, because it was like when you come to meet yourself in that way, I literally felt physically sick, because I was like, I don't think I can say this to this person. And what was funny is that we're so casual with the word love. You know, I love pizza, I love this TV show. Like, we, even with people, we're like, I love you, you know, and we may not even feel it in a profound way. And if we're not feeling it in a profound way, it's because we're not giving that love to ourselves, right? And that's like one of the toughest things that I've learned to do in the past 10 years, was convincing myself, and not just convincing, but feeling within myself that I was deserving of my own love. I mean, that was such a profound shift in thinking for me, because I was taught my entire life through my old religion that you're never worthy of anything. I was born with original sin, so you're going to spend the rest of your life making up for the fact you were born imperfect and that you suck, pretty much. And that shit happens because you deserve it. That's really deep conditioning to have to let go of, you know? And it was kind of like, it didn't even matter how good a person you were or what you did, you were never going to be good enough. And so one of the most profound things in this journey of looking at myself and saying, "I love you," and I could, so that I could finally look into the mirror and say it without feeling like stupid, because I did feel kind of stupid. But part of it was also this discomfort with myself, this profound discomfort with having to sit with myself, and to also be accountable for all the things that I've done, because I'm not perfect, right? Not only the times that I hurt others, right? Like, I think we can identify the times that we've hurt others, but the times I hurt myself, by being complicit in the disrespect that people accorded me, and also receiving the disrespect and also the violation from people and thinking that that was okay. right? That there was a part of me within myself that gave spiritual permission for that. Like, well, I guess I am useless, so, you know, I'm going to accept that as my truth. And so realizing that, you know what? You know, when someone does that to me now, when someone says, yeah, you know, I don't really like you very much, I'm like, that's okay. No, it has nothing to do with me. Thank you. And, you know, bless you and go on your way. I mean, I have to say that a lot when I have road rage. You know, people are flipping me the finger. Sometimes I'm not that big. I'm here on the rostrum, so I have to be, you know, I have to model example. But, you know, having accountability in terms of, like, creating our own suffering. So I learned that lesson from Thich Nhat Hanh. Also, Ty, I've talked about him before. He's, honestly, reading his books changed my life. So he has a bunch of books, but his most famous one is called Anger. And I think a lot of us have a lot of anger issues. I mean, you can just look in the world today and see the amount of rage that's going on. And even someone like myself, people always tell me, you're so calm, Jen. Like, I was not always that way, and I'm still not always that way. But part of coming to a place of centeredness and stillness and being able to say, I love you in the mirror, is actually having to deal with our rage issues, right? And some of that rage is really, really justified. Like, we've had a lot of people who've done terrible things to us, and we've done terrible things to ourselves as part of that story and that continuum. And so one of the things that I want people to do with that rage is to be friends with it. And that sounds really weird and strange. But we need to make friends with our rage. And all these other emotions are really, really uncomfortable. And I'm going to, you know, I've told this exercise before, but I think there are a few people who haven't heard this before, but so Ty, Thich Nhat Hanh, he worked a lot with Vietnam veterans who had literally committed atrocity. So there was this one veteran who, you know, a buddy from his battalion was killed, and so as revenge, they basically poisoned candy and gave it to children and killed the children in the village as revenge. And then, of course, there was fallout from that and then profound regret and rage at themselves that they had resorted to something like that. And so, Sapara, what Ty would tell people to deal with, like, these feelings of anguish and guilt and rage where people have, you know, done things that maybe some people would consider unforgivable, is he would say you need to make friends with your emotions, or treat them as honored guests. And this is one of my favorite visualizations, is that when you have rage or sadness or grief or depression or anxiety, and I've had all of those plus more, sure everyone else has too, is that they're always knocking on your door and you don't want to let them in. You're deadbolting that door like crazy and pushing furniture against it going, go away. I do not want to have to deal with you. You need to just go away. And what Ty says is you need to welcome in as honored guests. And so you got to move the furniture. You got to unbolt the door and you need to open the door and say, welcome rage. Welcome anger. You're my honored guest, and thank you for coming in with a message. Come in and have some tea with me. Would you like Earl Grey or chamomile? Green tea? Oh, you're a coffee drinker. I've got that, too. And you sit rage down, and you say, rage, what message do you have to tell me today? And rage may say, I'm here because your father did this to you. And you haven't been wanting to feel angry at him because he was your father. It's okay to feel that rage. And that's the message I have for you. And then you tell Rage, Rage, thank you for honoring me with your presence. I bless you and I let you go. And you may not let go of Rage after Rage leaves, but you're one step closer to being able to let it go. And it comes in layers, right? I mean, rage may have to come visit a few more times, right? Because rage is a really good friend, as is anxiety. And depression is a really good friend. And isn't it great that here are these friends that are coming to visit you on a constant basis to check in on you? Told you, playfulness. Playfulness is really, really key. Because I know that anxiety has been coming to visit me every day this past month. And I was like, I thought, you know, you were going to move away and maybe I would see you maybe once again in 20 years. I didn't know you were, I didn't know you'd move back. And you're living next door to me. And in fact, actually, you're living in the next room next to me. Okay, great. And so, like, you may do the work. Like, I've done a lot of work. But like I said, with my hospitalization, a lot of stuff came up. And a lot of stuff will come up for you. Maybe it's coming up for you right now. And you're like, I have done so much damn work on myself. Why is it coming up? Because you're ready. I know that's like, is this the gift I give that keeps on giving me because I'm doing work on myself? No, it's because you're ready. And what are you ready for, right? You're ready to let it go. But you're also ready to make space. You're clearing out all this room. You're doing a yard sale in your house of emotion. You know, and rage is helping you move the furniture out. Anxiety is helping you move the furniture out. Depression is helping move the furniture out, right? And faith is kind of your guidepost, right? Because you can't see what the renovation is going to look like afterwards. Because you're like, this is a hot mess. Oh, my God, there's stuff strewn everywhere. I don't know if I can do this because we are ripping down the walls. I wanted a new bathroom, but now I don't have a toilet. So I am not sure what the point of all this work is, all right? So faith, all right? Faith. We're in that leap of faith. We're in that space when the trapeze artist lets go of that one bar and is reaching for the other. We're in that space right now. I think a lot of us are in space. I know I'm in that space, and this is why I'm talking about it, and I'm talking about the things that have happened that have been tough and have also been recently tough because people are going through that right now. You're going through it with yourself. You see loved ones going through it. And collectively, we're doing a lot of work, right? There's a lot of anxiety. I mean, like, the Amazon is burning. There's stuff happening at the borders. There are families being separated. So even just kind of in a meta kind of scenario, there's a lot of stuff that is there to induce anxiety and depression and helplessness, right? I don't know how many people in here have felt a sense of helplessness, but I have. But the one thing that you can do is learn to love yourself, and this is how we're going to change the world, is learning to love ourselves. And when we learn to love ourselves, then we can extend love to other people, because honestly, most of the work is actually within ourselves. I know that seems counterintuitive when we have these gigantic things happening, like the Amazon burning, right? It's like, how is loving myself going to help the Amazon from burning? Because if we care enough about ourselves, we will care enough to care about other people, and that's the thing that pays it forward. Now, the upside of being hospitalized, Duke Hospital, and being laid up and, like, not being able to do anything is that I was forced to have an opportunity to receive love. And what I didn't realize was that I am still really terrible at receiving. Like, I had people messaging me and calling me and coming to visit me, and I realized I was uncomfortable with that outpouring of love and attention. And what was funny is that even after I left the hospital, so I have friends all around the world because of my work, so when I went to all these different places the past 3 weeks, I had people coming to hug me and telling me how much they appreciated me, and they were so glad to see me in person. And it was actually kind of shocking to me because I didn't realize how many people's lives that I had touched even though I wasn't with them every day. Like, we are beacons of light for so many people who are not even in our daily lives. We may only see them occasionally, but we're there. We're still shining that light. We're each of us that star in the sky. We each have our own star in the sky, and we don't realize the light that we emit, you know, even in the darkness, right? We may be the one star that someone is wishing on, and we don't even know it. So the message I want to give to everybody is that, yeah, we're in a time of profound growth, but learn to love yourselves. Do the mirror work. Yeah, I liked it. I love this. This is a soundtrack because I'm... Actually, Lynn, it's perfect. It was like, that's so funny because it's like, I love it. That's beautiful. That's Pachelbel Canon that's playing. I love Pachelbel Canon. So this is the swelling. This is the swelling soundtrack, for, not just for me, but for all of you. All of you deserve a beautiful soundtrack like Pachelbel Canon. So thank you, Lynn's granddaughter, for calling at just the right time. So I want you to report back to me about whether or not you were able to look in the mirror. And if you don't do it this week, it's okay. It took me, I think, 2 years before I could finally, like, look straight in the mirror and go, I love you, and feel it. So if you don't get it this week, don't worry. Don't beat yourself. It took me 2 years. Might take you longer. Might take you shorter. Hopefully shorter, because I'm here to cheer you on. But work on that this week. And I'm going to ground everybody because everyone's gone through a lot. So everyone, can you just breathe through your nose? And we're going to do it two more times. Thank you, everybody. I love you all so much.